Welcome in Wrong Side of the Pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. And watching Air Bud 3 right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, World Pup.
World Pup.
Seems fitting. This is a soccer podcast. This is a...
We're going to talk about the World Cup a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Seems like Universal Kids really wanted us to watch this right now, so...
Some of this channel... Universal Kids.
I'll be honest, we have a few channels now on YouTube TV that I didn't know existed.
And, I mean, this kid looks... They got this one kid and it's... It's all in the 90s.
Yeah,
oh, so
yeah.
90s. And a kid that... Just a bigger guy that just looks like John Popper just got taken out by just a sea of dogs.
He seems less likable than the normal John Popper. You need to be a big guy to blow in the harmonica in the way he did.
And to have a vest with like 80 harmonicas in
pockets.
The vest. Like just
boop, yeah. boop, boop. What do you do? Oh, I'm clearly a harmonica man. Yeah.
Clearly a harmonica man.
Yeah. Do you imagine if he runs fast that he gets a faint harmonica playing? You know, like sound? Like the... It's not like, you know, a full-blown harmonica play.
Like when you accidentally blow into like the blow long into side of it?
Yeah. But just faint, just, you know, from running quickly.
Like him wheezing?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a packed show. We got a Champions League final. We have that now.
Okay.
We have Premier League is...
It's done, but not...
Done, but not. We are in the final throes of the season. We have the most teams just have one match left.
Mm-hmm.
A couple have a few. We have a trophy was lifted today.
Okay.
Team got relegated this weekend.
Sure, that did happen as well.
And top four is not sealed.
Thanks not to yet.
Some missteps.
No, it's pretty unenjoyable that it's not to this point. So if we want to make it happen anytime soon, I'd be fine with that.
Before we hit the Premier League, let's go with a fantasy.
Yeah, let's do that because we've clearly reached the point in the year where I've stopped caring about fantasy in any capacity. I don't think I've
saying we just now reached that?
I'm just going to – for the sake of today's show, yeah, sure. We've okay. now reached that, not – currently or
now everybody yeah. involved
yeah everyone involved let's start in the English side of things. Jay Slack for like 90 shows in a row, no it's actually 9 shows in a row, he maintains his top spot. Seems pretty likely with just a match day and a half, 2 day match days left, mm-hmm. to actually get this over with. It seems pretty unlikely that anyone's going to overcome a 40 point gap that he has up
another there. Jay Slack victory.
Yeah.
To be a second or third time winning it all?
I think third.
Okay.
I think third.
Good on him.
He'll win nothing for this, of course, but
absolutely.
Just the ability to brag about it is what most people would find to be most valuable.
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah. Just be able to brag. I mean,
yeah,
it's good. It's good, like dinner conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a party.
Hey, I won the Wrong Side of the Pond fantasy league.
Excuse me. Who are you? Why? Yeah. What are you at? What? Yeah. What are you saying to me?
Who wrong side of who?
What?
Yeah.
Fantasy what?
I fell one place to 73rd. You improved one place to 132nd.
That's important.
We are fantastic. Over in the MLS League, just 21 entrants. Just a reminder, I still sit in 20th. This is like 10 weeks in a row.
Good job.
Sarkar's GSFC remains on top. You are one place improved here as well. 17th.
Yeah.
Just one up from 18.
Terrible.
There is your fantasy update that allows us to get into the reality of the weekend. And I think... Before we start with trophy liftings,
mm-hmm.
let's start with the reverse trophy lifting.
Right.
Which is
going down.
The opposite direction, yeah.
The, yeah.
The death to...
death spiral mm-hmm. down to... well, I mean, it can be... You know, we just talk about this. Teams get relegated. And then you always ask yourself, like, when are we actually going to see them back? Like, is this the start of, like, this organization, this club... Just spiraling downwards. We've seen this now with Sunderland.
Sunderland, yeah.
They're going to be playing in League One. They've just had to change hands as far as ownership. I mean, it's a bad scene there.
Mm-hmm.
And that, as much as we didn't think we would see them right back up,
I don't think none of us would have predicted. Yeah. Like, hey, they're going to go down and they're going to go down again.
The double drop.
Yeah, and it's not like this is unprecedented. Obviously, the last team I think that did this was probably Portsmouth. And obviously, they had financial issues they were dealing with.
Wigan's dropped all the way to, they just are now going back up, but they fell all the way down to League One.
Was it back-to-back relegations for Wigan?
I don't know if it was back-to-back.
I think it was a year separated.
Yeah.
But,
it was over the course of like 3 seasons.
Regardless, it's not happy. And I think no team that goes down thinks to themselves like, oh, we're going to be down in the championship for 1 year. And then, oh, we're then going to go down to League One after that. I think
this is all temporary, guys. Yeah. Everything will be fine.
I think most teams that go down with the mindset of like, okay, what do we got to do to rebound right back up and kind of keep that mentality. And we know now the first team that will be struggling with that heading into next year, and that is Stoke City.
Not the one you would have picked at the beginning of the year to drop.
No. Probably not.
We'll go over that next week in our season wrap of how bad our predictions were.
Yeah.
I don't remember anyone going, you know what, I think Stoke, your time's up.
Yeah, and we may have talked a little bit about how they were unbalanced and how most of their signings fell into the offensive half of the pitch, and I think that still remains
not sexy.
Truth. But this is the least sexy thing you can think about.
Really, it really is. Finishing what will most likely be last at this point.
There's literally nothing sexy about being relegated, outside of the fact that if you find it difficult or sexy to not have an easy time watching your team play ever, sure.
Yeah.
Yep. That could be sexy enough. Stoke going down. Kind of unbelievable that they're the first team that are down.
Right. West Brom, and we'll get to that. Avoid that for the moment. But it's Stoke that are officially down. They've been up this spell since 2008-2009 season.
Long time.
They kind of actually, outside of like this past season, obviously, they've had like a nice little stretch here in the past couple of years where they're finishing like, you know, a couple years in a row where they finished ninth place.
Yeah,
absolutely. Top half of the table.
Yeah, and you know, for them, I think that's where the downfall kind of started for Stoke. They had this ideal, you know, situation where they were grinding out and winning and getting results and top half of the table. Like for a club like Stoke that don't have a whole lot of history.
Was that Pulis Ball?
I think Pulis Ball is what got him the highest. And then, you know, Mark Hughes took him a couple steps higher. But I think the downfall for them was maybe abandoning that Tony Pulis Ball in pursuit of actual attractive soccer.
Right?
Yeah, the sexiness.
It's the sexiness that came.
Yeah. How often we get caught by the sexiness.
You chase the sexiness and you lose.
Yeah. Losing they did, obviously going down. But... you know, I kind of alluded to this a couple minutes ago. They brought in all this talent that literally was one end of the field. It's like they're stockpiling things like Shaqiri and you know, a couple other ex-Barcelona players, and that just isn't necessarily enough when you're still keeping the same backline. Like Jeff Cameron, like this is wild to think, but Jeff Cameron was still on that team.
Yeah. Still there, putting him in.
By the way, this is 3 years in a row that we've seen American go down in relegation in England. So not a good streak we're on right now either.
Last year was Middlesbrough and Brad Guzan.
Yep.
Year before that was...
Aston Villa, excuse me.
Well, he went down twice.
Oh, that's right.
He did the double drop.
The double drop.
He dropped with Villa, then he got picked up by Middlesbrough, and then dropped it.
Went back down again, and it's very true. So
look at Atlanta.
Also, DeAndre Yedlin. Who went down and then went back up as well.
Yeah.
So, obviously, not a good tradition that we have that way.
That's
but I
not
think
voting
that's,
well for the national.
That's the least of Stoke's worries at this point, is my guess.
You look at some of the guys like Butland, Shaqiri. These guys are likely not playing Division One. Football next year.
Yeah, but you know, I think some of them
are Division Two.
I think quite a few of them are going to get rescued away.
Yeah, exactly. Like who? I mean, what do you think the market's going to be like? I feel like Butland, the market's going to be probably decent on him. He's
yeah,
a
absolutely.
Keeper that has a lot. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know, hype about him. I guess because he's an English cap or English keeper.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him getting picked up by someone pretty quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of guys in that squad that'll likely get picked up.
Does he leave the league?
I think that's pretty likely. Back to mainland.
Yeah.
Over to Germany, perhaps. Seems like a likely place for him to land at this point. But yeah, there's just nothing sexy about selling off all your players, getting a new manager in, playing in a new division that includes a bunch of teams that are significantly smaller than you. It's just not at all sexy. Can't get it up for that.
No. Mm-mm. No, not at all.
No.
So they lose in a 2-1 loss to Crystal Palace. It was actually Ryan Shawcross, the captain, giving the ball away right in front of the box there. Yeek. That led to the winner and the goal that officially sent them down. Mm-hmm. So that's the sad story. That's the sad story of the weekend. Stoke is done. They're going down. We'll see how long they stay down. But there were two teams that had some stuff to play for,
mm-hmm.
and they kept hope alive this weekend. Chelsea still trying to break in that top four, and West Brom. We talked about it a minute ago. They were the team that was in 20th for a while now, and we thought, well, they're surely done.
It seems like not that long ago we were saying, hell, even maybe even long ago, people were saying, like, we're going to see this West Brom side go down. It just seemed such a certainty a while ago. The fact that Stoke are going down before West Brom, given all the results they've had, is just a little, like, boggling to me. Like, not at all something I would have expected, and somehow they're in this situation where they're now potentially not going to go down in the next division. Like, it seems unthinkable to me that we've gone through this type of a change so quickly.
West Brom had to win last week to stay alive. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to win this week to stay alive. And did they? I didn't get a chance to watch this match. Did you get a chance to watch?
I might have watched it. I might have watched it.
Did you? What?
Yeah.
What did you glean?
What I gleaned from it was Tottenham are terrible, and they're trying to give away Champions League once again.
Right. Like, at the death, West Brom get the ball on just kind of a cross, excuse me, corner into the box, and then just kind of havoc and kicking it around, and bodies laid out everywhere. It goes in.
Yeah.
West Brom freak out. There's crazy celebration going on.
Sure.
And really, all they were doing is saying, like, hey, we're alive for, like, the next, like, 2 hours. Because Southampton was playing at Everton right afterwards. And had they beat Everton, which they almost did.
Oh, yeah.
And then Everton scored super late in that game as well. It would have been over. And the whole West Brom celebrating that they were still alive would have only lasted like 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, credit to West Brom. One, they've not lost since they brought in Darren Moore, which I think is kind of an incredible indictment on the board that's now no longer there, right? Like, they took so damn long to get rid of Pardew, and now they find themselves in a position where they can actually, you know, potentially rescue themselves.
So here's what they have going for them. The rest of the way, West Brom clinging to life. Again, they are in 19th place, 31 points.
Mm-hmm.
The team they play next with one match left is Crystal Palace on Sunday. But the teams ahead of them have a match before the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's oddly enough against each other.
Yeah. Again, we talked about the results. If they go elsewhere a particular way, we could see them condemned.
So Swansea and Southampton play each other. Obviously, if you're West Brom, you just want whoever wins. Like, that's not irrelevant. You just want whoever that match. If someone loses that match, you want them to go ahead and also lose at the weekend.
Yeah, that would be
ideal. Then you got to win, and then you can jump them. Otherwise, if they both, well, I guess a draw is the worst thing here.
Yeah. I mean, any type of situation like that where both teams are able to move forward just leaves West Brom in a spot where they're going to have even more of a hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, because then a draw, you're going to have to deal with goal differential and just hope that that all falls in line.
Yeah.
So you need actually one of these teams to
win.
walk away with their safety so that you can
then focus on one of them.
Yeah.
As opposed to any of them.
Southampton or Swansea. Who would you pick out of Southampton, Swansea? Who is in, like, who's probably going, wow, we're screwed right now?
Well, I mean, I think the easy thing to do is look at the games that are left for the teams. Obviously, there's the six-pointer that we talked about a couple of minutes ago that's happening this coming weekend.
Yeah, we have this Tuesday. And then Southampton play Manchester City on Championship Sunday, which actually might not be that terrible because you got to figure City's probably going to field like a lot of B-sides there. A lot of bench guys, maybe a couple of the youth guys.
Yeah, I mean, that seems really likely. You know, obviously they lifted the trophy today. Right. We haven't gotten there yet, and we'll talk about that here shortly.
They're already on that parade bus. Like they're not going to go out and put in a full shift.
But they also have a manager who has an insatiable appetite to win.
True.
So, given that he looked a little discombobulated after during the trophy celebration today, because you know they didn't actually win their match. I wouldn't be shocked at all that he comes out of the gates for their game and brings some fire just to get the 3 points that he wanted.
Swansea plays Stoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's already dead Stoke is who they play.
You know the idea, though, a lot of those teams, like it seems like, oh, well, you know, they have nothing to play for. There is the mentality of, well, like, come on, let's bring someone else down with us.
Right.
You know, like, if I'm going to hell, we're all going to hell together.
Taking you down with me?
Yeah. So
delightful.
It is delightful. But you know, if I had to pick right now, it's pretty even odds. Southampton and their lack of scoring goals is probably where I'd start.
All right. So let's go back up to the top of the table. Chelsea looking to claw their way back into the top four spots.
Right.
And they got all the help in the world. We already mentioned West Brom taking all 3 points against
Spurs. So depressing.
Spurs now. Bit of a tight spot. As they need to make sure they win their remaining matches too.
I mean, that's the comforting part, is that if Spurs can take care of business.
Right.
It's their spot.
Right. Did play West Brom this week, though, and he didn't take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah, history is not on our side in this situation.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But Chelsea, they get their victory today over our Liverpool side. Oddly stocked full of starters.
Right.
Again, I was mind-boggling.
They'll just rest because, like, you know, they just played that big match. And, like, they kind of, you know, need to give these guys some rest. They don't want to pick up any injuries going into the Champions League final.
Uh-huh.
No, they went full A lineup for the most part. And Chelsea get the win. Can we talk about the goal?
Yeah.
So, Olivier Giroud scores his first goal as a starter
since like 2017, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last season. Not even this part of 2017.
Yeah, it was like May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a year later, he scores a goal as the starter. And then he runs to the bench and hugs David Luiz.
Of all the people.
Like, I don't know what's happening there.
I mean, definitely is the type of thing you'd expect when a manager is about to get fired.
That you go and you hug a guy who's basically been exiled.
Yes. Usually not a good sign for the guy who's currently in the hot seat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that did that. That spoke a lot to what will be a very interesting offseason for Chelsea.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the three people, the goal scorer, the guy who got the hug, and the manager in the hot seat. Really no telling where any of those three will be come next year.
Well, do you want to make any predictions, or are you comfortable just letting it ride out?
Depends.
Yeah.
I could easily see us picking up like two other strikers and selling Morata, and then like loaning Giroud to like Everton or something like that.
Yeah. Somewhere where he'd actually be
like the guy. Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. I mean, this comes in, gets a start.
Actually, I'd like him to stay around.
Yeah.
I'd like him to stay around.
One would hope.
But our track record right now of keeping that second striker around for longer than like two seasons is unlikely.
Difficult.
Yeah.
To say the least. Let's move to a couple of the other matches that were at the foot of the table, and why they're important is that they've made things a little bit more interesting as far as the relegation side of the race goes. Let's start with Leicester 0, West Ham 2. West Ham desperately needing a result like this, giving themselves a little bit of a buffer to push themselves out of that realm.
Need wins.
Could you imagine them moving into that stadium? It's been an absolute disaster for them.
Right.
And they go into that old Olympic stadium and then end up in the championship afterward. Like, oh, we finally got our 60,000-seat stadium, but we're only going to put 30 in it because we're playing in the championship.
That would be pretty horrific.
Given that they have a very low financial commitment to the whole scenario, I doubt it would have been that big of an issue.
But the locals are really happy about.
Yeah. Some other games that were very pertinent for the bottom of the table. Bournemouth getting a big 1-0 win over Swansea. Obviously, Swansea right in the thick of the relegation race is one of the few
sides. This is what's really clawed them all the way back down to really just being an absolute danger. Watford getting a 2-1 win over Newcastle. These are two teams that are safe, and I would say at this point, relatively happy with how this season has gone.
Yeah, so much so that we don't even need to discuss it any further.
No. Sunday, City, you mentioned it. 0-0 draw with Huddersfield.
Yeah, I said this earlier, but Pep looked downright like disgusted at times during the trophy celebration. Like, we didn't get the 3 points that I really desperately wanted today. Just hurts him. He can't even celebrate because he didn't get the win on the day he wanted it.
He's that guy that occasionally tries real hard when he's playing against his kids backyard or something like that.
Aha! I did that today.
Like you wouldn't want to. Oh yeah,
I totally did that today.
What'd you do?
It was more my kids kept wanting me to do certain things with them, and I just wanted to keep juggling the ball. So every time they'd get close, I'd just lob it over top of them. Little sombrero. Little whoop. You know?
Giving the kids a sombrero, that's Father of the Year material
I'm not opposed to it at all.
Back on Friday real quickly, because we'll save Arsenal for last. Brighton Hove Albion getting a 1-0 win against United, and this was a win they needed. They are officially safe.
Yeah, big for them.
It was huge for them because you get all okay. Hey, you just got to win one match down the stretch and you're safe. Easier said than done for them. If you see their fixture, their last three matches of the season.
Oh, nightmare.
So they played United on Friday. On this coming Wednesday, they'll play at City. And then they finish the season at Liverpool.
Ugh. That's a gauntlet and a half, isn't it? You survive that, you deserve to stay up. Obviously, the big win for them means that they're assured at this point.
Yep, they're safe.
So, congrats to them. United continuing to be squalorish.
Right, but it doesn't matter because they're still going to finish in second.
Yeah.
The last match to mention. Arsenal 5. Burnley 0.
I mean, sending Arsene Wenger out with one last feather in his cap.
You know, as much as we are Arsene detractors in some regards, we like to, we're more our Arsenal detractors and the misery that Arsene has bestowed upon his club.
I don't think I have anything against Wenger. It's more I just enjoy his club he coaches at suffering.
In fact, I would say I desperately wanted this for him. I did not, as much as it's kind of been, look at this guy, the old man falling down at the airport, which is actually a thing he also did.
Yes, that literally.
I didn't want this guy who has a real legitimate, important legacy in English football to go out with his final match, his big send-off at the Emirates to be some dud against a lesser side.
Well, we didn't get that, obviously, and Wenger gets the send-off that anyone would have hoped for him to have. And I think you're absolutely right. No matter where you fall on the spectrum of whether you support Arsenal or not, it's really inconsequential. This is a guy who, as we said on last week's show, is a revolutionary in world football and modernized the game in a way that not many people have had an opportunity to do. So It's good that he's got his doing proper. Although I'll be honest, when I looked at Burnley on that sheet, I kind of went, "Well, if there's a team that's going to nip this from him at home, like Burnley's it." And I'm not going to overanalyze why they ended up doing what they did. Maybe they laid down for the same reason. I wouldn't put that past them either. But big win for Arsene, and obviously gives him a nice little swan song for the end of his career.
Yeah, and that will be his swan song as far as that's his final home match. But now he officially only will have one other match, because back on Thursday they did not get through to the Europa final.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was really anticipating that would happen, despite how level things were going into the match. But you know, it's
who was that scored for Madrid?
That Diego Costa guy, I think.
Dude, was it just me, or did Costa like look like extra hungry to score against Arsenal?
He definitely did.
Like, even he was trying to score a second. Like, he probably prevented them from scoring the second by being way too selfish and trying to get that second goal himself.
You'll have that.
Yeah, he wanted it. Mm-hmm. He wanted to stick the knife into Arsenal.
I found this stat to be pretty interesting. If Arsene Wenger stayed for another 100 games and lost all of them at Arsenal, he would still have the best winning percentage of any Arsenal manager ever. Kind of shows you how incredible that is. And there have been some absolute legends in the game as far as managers that were there. Chapman being the one that kind of comes to mind at best. Here's another really interesting stat for this.
Okay.
Everyone's talking about Wenger. Big Ben, he had the speech afterward.
Yeah.
Everyone got all excited. Merci, Arsene, blah, 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 blah.
Stan Kroenke even showed up.
I'm sure he said nothing.
I saw someone on Twitter pointing. I wonder if Kroenke at some point just leaned over to someone next to him in his owner's box and said, "Now, which one is this Wenger fella?"
Which guy? But no, congrats to Wenger. Job well done. Excellent career.
Mm-hmm. But is the career over?
I can't decide this, right? Like, he's been talking about how he, you know, maybe this isn't the last chapter for him. I think this is him just talking out his ass. Like, he just isn't willing to accept what's happening, and right now he's open to it. But
what would be a job that would actually even make sense for him to take?
I think there's only one, literally one.
Okay.
And that's PSG.
All right, yeah, sure.
I think you may make an argument for the French national team, but I don't know that he has any interest in international management. I don't know.
We're about 40 days from them bombing out.
Yeah. So. I mean, it could be a job opening for him in the very near future. We'll miss you, Big Bangs, for many very,
they gave
very
him like
diverse
a,
reasons.
So they gave him like a miniature replica of the Invincible, or the, you know, the undefeated season trophy.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about that?
I don't like it. I'm not generally not a fan.
I mean, I just felt like it was, I don't know. There was a lot of low-hanging fruit with that one. Like,
just anything that involves Sol Campbell, I have an immediate distaste for.
Well, it was
for,
just like, hey, we're gonna sell, once again, take an opportunity to celebrate that thing we've been clinging to for the past 15
years. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and talk about how pathetic it is, because, you know, that we just don't need to go into that.
I just
thought
it was a little goofy. I mean, obviously it was something that it was meaningful to Arsene's career, and obviously it's where he's put his stamp on the Premier League. But, those thoughts did creep into my head, but good for him.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't the only one.
He rolls off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
All the changes at Arsenal, per Mertesacker, obviously this is the end for him.
Yeah.
He's taken over the youth.
Is he really?
Yeah, they announced that during the whole...
You know, it's really easy for him to see over all of them.
I mean, goodness. I mean, how much taller is he going to be? Like, the average youth player is going to come up, like, maybe to his waist?
I would love to see a video or a picture of, like, five Arsenal youth players stacked on top of one another, and then Per Mertesacker just standing there.
Yeah.
God, that's something I need to have happen. So, if there's anyone in the Arsenal social media department, we know you don't listen, but let's imagine that you did. Make that happen for
make
us.
Happen. Yeah. Yep. Let's go Champions League.
Okay. We have a final.
We do have a final.
Are you excited about the final?
Yeah, let's talk real quickly about the semifinal first, because, that was pretty good.
Yeah, both legs. Again, this tournament continues to deliver this year, easily, I mean, we could have a nil-nil, boring-ass final, and you could not convince me that this hasn't been the best edition of the Champions League ever. It's been phenomenal. Really fun to enjoy, you know, as a neutral standpoint, or even if you're not a neutral, this tournament's had all of it for you.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the semifinal that did have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And by a lot, I mean a lot of goals.
Yes.
13 of them. Leg two final, Roma actually winning the physical match itself.
Sure.
4-2 as they come all the way back after this game pretty much like, oh, this is over, because Liverpool scored, you know, two goals there in the first half. And you're thinking, this is game, set, match. There's your away goals right there. You know, that cancels out the away goals that Roma snagged there at the end. Big lead restored. And then things started happening.
Yeah, it was a lot of things. It's almost like more than you can really categorize. But at the same time, it was just... It's the way this tournament's gone this year, and the way that Liverpool have defended for a majority of the season as well. Haphazard.
Yep.
Go for it at the expense of the defense. And let's just, you know, try to run and gun more than the other team can.
3 second-half goals for Roma, all coming from players that have or currently are Chelsea targets. We'll get none of them.
No. I mean,
maybe in another year we'll get Dzeko when he's just really old and there was no...
To be honest with you, I think Dzeko is the one that you'll be most likely to get.
Probably.
And he'll come back and just dud it up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Giroud's
pretty excited for it. The other side of things, Madrid getting past Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich, it really in both legs, it was Bayern Munich controlling a lot of the match. And... just, you know, it was Madrid living off the counterpunch in a lot of ways, and
I mean, that's what they do. They're so clinical in that respect, and I think that's what's going to make this final ultimately so great, is that we have two teams that are absolutely run and gun.
Yep.
And like we talk about 13 goals over two legs for the Liverpool-Roma matchup in the semifinals. We could see 13 goals in the final, given how things go.
I mean, yeah, it could be a shootout. But yeah. Anytime you think it's going to be a shootout, what ends up happening?
It's a total.
It's going to be like waste of everyone's 1-0 time.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a bit of info.
Okay.
So Liverpool 5-2 in Champions League finals. That's not terrible.
It's not bad.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
You could be Atletico Madrid and be 0-3.
I mean, that would not be a desirable. Champions
League finals.
Yeah.
Madrid, on the other hand, 12-3.
So last time these two teams met in a final?
Liverpool,
1981.
Yeah.
So Liverpool were the side who prevailed.
Yeah, 1-0. Interesting. So I looked this up. That season, Real Madrid finished third in the table.
Yeah.
In La Liga, that 1981. They are projected to basically, that's where they are now, and they'll probably finish up in third place. Liverpool that year finished fifth. If things in the league continue to not go well, they could potentially finish fifth.
I think that's pretty unlikely, but
it's a possibility.
It's enough to tickle your fancy.
Right? Yeah, it was just cool. I was like, oh, wow. Ooh. So, like, the same thing could happen as it did in 81.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But, yeah, so those... those are our teams. You're right, fun and gun. But it's also like the two biggest names in world football right now.
Yeah,
Mo Salah and Ronaldo.
Egypt's gonna just cave in on itself.
they gotta wait. They got a whole summer to do that.
Yeah, well, whatever. So we have our final. It is this Liverpool Real Madrid final. It's got a nice classic feel to it as well.
Yeah.
It's like a European Cup final of lore, right, that you would talk about.
Right.
So I'm certainly looking forward to it. Of course, we have a FC Cincinnati game that day, which means I'll be watching that thing at the stadium.
The press box?
Worst places to watch, obviously.
If you guys want to know if they're going to air it also on the Jumbotron, make sure to send those tweets to DJ. You can go to his personal account, or you can go to the team account.
Yeah, any of them.
It'll pester him either way.
Yeah, I got a lot of requests about the Derby this past weekend, you know, because it's perfectly reasonable for another sporting event to be playing, you know, a completely different sporting event in a different field. And, you know, because it's just teams are allowed to just put on whatever they want on that big screen.
Yeah, just put on whatever they
want. Yeah. You don't have to be worried about rights or anything along those lines.
Yeah, like you're like B-dubs.
Yeah. Just put it on.
Just got all the channels.
It's a B-dub with 30,000 people in it. FYI, if you try to order something at a 30,000 B-dubs, you will not be getting that food and or drink for another 2 to 3 years. Just a hunch.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go stateside. Well, we kind of mentioned, hey, FC Cincinnati on a roll.
Yay.
MLS stuff. Soccer. LAFC now 2-0 in their new digs.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1-1. They're undefeated.
Yeah. Craziness over in Las Vegas. I don't know, but it's crazy.
I was reading the report where the technical director for Las Vegas Lights has been suspended for like 7 matches.
The technical director.
Technical director. So not like...
Not even the manager.
Not the manager, not like one of the players, not even like the manager is like, you know, one of like the first team coach or whatever.
Yeah.
Technical director.
Odds are this is a man in a suit.
Got a 7 match suspension for referee assault.
Awesome.
Now, he claims that he just kind of did like a little, you know, finger in the chest kind of thing. One of those pokes.
Look, if you're the technical director, touching the referee is probably just off limits. Just
really actually going down into like the tunnel and getting after the ref.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and...
Like at all.
We'll include that one as well.
Crappy thing
too. Yeah.
This is the same side where their head coach actually also, in a preseason match, was kicked out and proceeded to go into the stands and smoke a cigarette.
Mm.
So...
I mean... I'm not complaining.
Awesome.
Yeah. Not going to complain in the slightest.
So we threw out a question.
We did.
We asked people because the World Cup is coming up. I think we're under 40 days or around 40 days. I don't know. I'm not at work right now, so I don't have our countdown clock that we have.
We don't need to. Yeah.
Do you guys have a countdown clock at your office?
We talked about it, but we don't actually have one yet.
I got one free.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to me by a buddy of mine who won it at a trivia contest at Molly Malone's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of their ones from 2014. So it does still technically say countdown to 2014.
Yeah, but it's...
But I calibrated it to like actually be counting to...
Do you have some tape over the this, four?
We debated like putting like a little post-it note.
Yeah.
Like a little 1-8 post-it note over the 1-4.
If you did that, that would make me feel better about it.
I will do it tomorrow and take a picture of it for you.
Thank you. I'm so eagerly looking forward to this text message tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to get it. Text message. Probably going to get a tweet, too. I'll probably just tweet it out.
Ooh,
so that's happening.
You guys...
Look out. Get ready.
Should feel jealous. But we did ask this question. We wanted to know. There is no U.S. men's national team that's playing in this tournament.
That's what we're hearing.
Yeah, that's the hot rumor on the street right now. And we wanted to know, with the absence of a team that you would root for, who are you going to root for? Are you picking anyone up?
Yeah. So last week,
mm-hmm.
We both gave ours. And by that, I mean I gave mine and you danced around the question for about 3 minutes.
Are you all right with that or do you want me to declare?
Well, after what happened to me, I would say you probably made the right choice. So I picked Mexico. They are a team that I am good.
Yeah, you did get taken to the
I got some scorn.
Mm-hmm.
I got some scorn from that one.
I feel like I even kind of warned you that might happen.
No, I
knew it was gonna happen. In the process.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't it happen, right?
You're just
poking. I'm picking the team that is the arch rival of the U.S. men's national team.
Like I said at the time, that's just dirty.
I don't know. I don't know what you see this as, but I just don't feel the like venom and passion about rivals when it comes to like country.
Okay.
That it does like when it comes to club.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm not going to be rooting for Liverpool. In fact, I'm probably actively rooting against Liverpool during the final.
Yeah.
Because they're a team I just don't like.
Yeah.
And I like when my team beats them and they're a rival. And like that matters.
You just don't want your rivals to do well.
For some reason, that just doesn't really
Doesn't translate.
No, it doesn't. I don't wish ill against Mexico unless that means that it positively affects the U.S.
I wish ill against Rafa Marquez and all.
Well, pursuits. Okay, we can have that conversation.
Okay, fair enough.
Gotcha. Right, I definitely got you there.
Do you want an answer for me though? Can we actually give one? Yeah, I think the easy one for me is obviously. I think maybe the reason why I dance around is it feels so.
Chalk.
Like easy, right? Yeah, it's but easy. It's for me, it's Germany just because of family heritage.
Right.
You know, I'm from Cincinnati, so I'm innately required to support all things German. I think that's probably the team that I would look at and go, okay, like there's the team I'll get behind. But it feels so like bandwagon-y. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
no, that makes sense.
Don't get on board with the team that everyone else would be picking.
Well, I was talking to my buddies about that because they were talking about like, you know, the commercials that they're showing about, like, find out your ancestry.
23andMe, and then find a team to root for.
And so that, you know, you can figure out what your heritage you have, which is always interesting, actually, I hear, because most people, you find out that, like, you're not what you've always thought you were.
Oh, yeah, I'm terrified to take that. As someone who's, like, hinged their entire, like, you know, family identity on the idea that it's entirely German, I'm like going to be really upset to find out I'm like 75%, you know, Polish or something along those lines. It really ruined things for me.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
80% Hungarian.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
I think I'm the same way on that. Like if I did that, like most people would be like, my options are pretty chalk. It's like
Germany, Ireland.
Like mine would be like Germany and France.
Yeah.
And then since Wales didn't make it, not them.
Yeah, look, you're allowed to root for Canada too, but much like
also
us.
Also didn't make it.
Didn't make it. But let's talk about teams that people are supporting because they did make it. We got quite a few replies to this tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting that back out. It makes things a little bit easier when two people are on that front.
It is always good when you're trying to get answers to actually ask the question.
Yeah, job well done there. Let's start with Kevin Bearcat Zoo on Twitter. He offers up CONCACAF, so he's just rooting for anyone CONCACAF.
You got some options there.
Egypt, Messi, and storylines. I love the storylines.
I think we all root for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, look, if we're being honest here, we have no dog in the fight. Everyone is then therefore for storylines. Like, give me the best World Cup possible,
right,
with the best storylines. So that way we can chat about stuff.
I always say that every year for March Madness. Like, I don't have a team in the hunt most of the time.
Don't care as long as it's awesome.
Like, I just want chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I want, yeah, it's chaos and narrative. Give me that.
It's a good thing to work with. Kevin also offered up they'd be rooting for Egypt and Messi, which is a weird combination there.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Doesn't Egypt play Messi? I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
No, I'm not going to go that what about Chris Asbrock? He offered up Germany, much like myself, because of his strong German ancestry. But would love to see Iceland do well as well. I think we'll see a lot of people on Iceland. Yeah. But, you know, everyone's back for the...
well, it's a cool story.
The Viking chant.
Their manager's a dentist.
Which is still absurd. Over into a response from, it would have been uncomfortable if Gage hadn't provided one. Gage Magoto, he offered up.
I'd send a search party out for him
if he didn't do it. España is who he'll be rooting for. Watching them in the 2010 World Cup was part of the reason I fell in love with soccer. I wouldn't be angry if Messi drags Argentina to a World Cup glory, though. So I think you'll see a fair amount of people given Argentina the vote of confidence just because of who they are.
Other ones.
Jeff Tebbets, he offered up Japan. Unsurprising for a guy who's a Japanese translator and really into Japanese culture. Japan, even though I know they're a dark horse, but guilty Salah supporter in me wants Egypt to shock a few teams on the way. Ken Hodaker, he offered up Chicago Fire. Bastion got them there, right? Excellent reply there, Ken. Dan Staver, he said, not Brazil.
Okay.
I think we'll also see a lot of these knots. I'm fine with whoever.
As long as it's not
this team. I bet we'll see a lot of France's. We'll see a lot of... not Brazil is a pretty uncommon one, but I think probably...
A lot of Germany.
Yeah. Not Brazil, not Russia, not Argentina. not anyone from CAF other than Egypt, not France, not Chile, not Spain. So Dan just giving us all of his knots. So there's like another 24 teams he's okay with winning it.
Yeah, I mean, is this bad for me to say? But I think we're all friends here. We're all kind of secretly hoping that Russia has a terrible World Cup.
Oh, right? Yeah, everyone wants that. Right? Like three losses.
Yeah.
And then infinite shots of angry Putin in the box. Just as many of those as we can get, I'm okay with.
Scowling Putin. That's what we want. Ooh,
okay with that. Let's keep going through these because we've had a few more. It's Brad Simpson says, just Germany, no reason. Steven Starkey offers up rooting for Egypt, closely following Spain as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then as we move a little bit further, James Walker says, England, naturally, because my delusion that because the delusion is it's quintessentially English, right? This is the World Cup. This is how your things are supposed to be. Jeremy Wade offers up Belgium, one that we would probably see. It's a fancied pick at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick the top one, but right. I'll pick that team that's right there in that next pack. And then we also saw Brown Town. He offered up, I can only support one national team, the men's national team, but given the circumstances, he's planning on going a day early and supporting whichever team LFC players have the most of.
Going back to the Belgium one, it's like the whole, like, yeah, you don't want to pick the top team.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pick someone that's like...
It's like me feeling guilty about Germany.
Well, it's like if you were just getting into the Premier League, like, you're not going to pick like United or City. So you just pick like Spurs.
Oh, damn it.
Where it's like, it's not the top, but like, hey, pretty good. Like, I really like what we're doing here.
I'll have enough room to brag. But like,
I'm not going straight on the nose by just going, oh, City, that's me.
Yeah, you have enough room to brag without humble bragging.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So thanks to everyone who provided their responses, a bunch of really good ones in there. Fun to hear who everyone's rooting for. Like I said, let's just root for an awesome World Cup that involves lots of Putin distaste.
Oh, always for that. Yeah. Always for that.
And then I think that brings us to our last segment of the show.
Yes, it does. Winners and wankers. What do you got for your winner?
Fine. I'll go ahead.
You do it.
I'm able to do that. I can feel comfortable with that. The person I'm giving it to this week is not just a singular person, but rather, it is a singular person. It's Andres Iniesta, who announced this week that he was leaving Barcelona. Hasn't said outright that he's retiring, but you kind of got the feel that he was doing that. The reason why I'm not a big Barcelona fan. I probably let that through pretty frequently on the show.
Heard of it, yeah.
I feel like they're overly exalted in a way that maybe they don't deserve. But Iniesta is one of those players who, for me, will forever be undervalued and underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Given the two great players he's played alongside, and Xavi Hernandez and Messi himself. But Iniesta is one of those players that, if he wasn't so damn good, Barcelona could have never been as good as they ultimately ended up being, because teams have to worry about him, and he's just an absolute joy to watch. Love how humbled he was in the aftermath of retiring as well. Had a hard time going into the announcement itself. We don't very often see these one club guys any longer, and I'm sad that he's leaving, but happy for him and that he gets to go out on his own terms, which I think is pretty cool.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think he'll go like the Xavi route and go to
the Middle East,
Qatar.
Or something like that? Given that we've not seen Xavi since he went there, I would hope he doesn't.
Send a health and wellness check on that guy?
Can we get a UN convoy in there to check that out? Your winner this week?
My winner, Bolton Wanderers. Ooh. I don't know if you saw this. It was the final day of the EFL Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's the playoffs that they'll have for the final promotion spot.
Yep.
Cardiff is in as the other automatically promoted side of Wolves. So
Vincent Tan, back up.
Yeah.
Break out your gloves. Get your jersey underneath your blazer. We're ready to go.
Also on that, mm-hmm. one of my favorite managers is going up with them, and Neil Warnock.
This is his
eighth, official also-ran.
This is his eighth promotion, by the way. 8th. Yeah. Absurd. Well, that's an English record.
Well, when you've been with like 17 mm-hmm. clubs, that'll tend to happen.
Yeah, he might have even brought Palace up twice, it feels like.
So this match was crazy. Bolton playing Nottingham Forest. Bolton needing to win to stay above the drop mm-hmm. and to not go down. They were on 40 points. Needed to outpace Barnsley, who ended up finishing on 41 points. So, you know, so if they're on 41, Bolton had to win because they were on 40.
Right.
Otherwise, they're in the drop. This match was absolutely insane. It starts off with, in the first half,
mm-hmm.
there were 4 yellow cards given out.
Okay.
Then finally the scoring happens in the second half. Bolton first take the lead, and then right after that, Nottingham Forest score one to draw it mm-hmm. and then score another one in the 79th minute. Jack Colback actually scoring that one.
Ooh.
And so you're thinking you're going down. You're now losing this match. You need 2 goals because you can't – a draw does you no good here. You need
sure.
2 goals in the 87th and 88th minute. They score. Absolute scenes. Amazingness. This is the really cool, like, romantic side of
staying. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Up.
Yeah, you saw all the images of the players rushing onto the field or the fans rushing onto the field mm-hmm. and, you know, every groundsman's worst nightmare. But so cool to see all those people rush in and celebrate in a way because their club matters to them. So, really, really cool moment.
My wanker, I'll give that one real quick and then I'll let you hear. Your wanker. Mm-hmm. Basically, this mine's just not that good. I feel like you're going to close it out with something a little better.
Yeah, well, let's see what we can do.
Going back to Cardiff and Neil Warnock, mm-hmm. They were earning automatic promotion today with, 40 seconds or so left before the official was going to blow the whistle.
Sure.
Cardiff fan said, "Nah, that's enough," and they stormed the pitch. So, like, then, like...
Oh, I saw this.
The
this
Cardiff
is great.
Players and, like, Neil Warnock and... They had to like sit there and like berate all their fans to like, get off the pitch.
Get off! We need to finish this thing.
Go! And then like there was just that awkwardness then because like 40 seconds later, like, oh, okay, now we can all celebrate. You can come back on the pitch. I know. We just yelled at you and chastised you guys for being terrible fans.
This, yeah.
But hey, now we can celebrate.
Okay.
But it was like Cardiff fans. Just
wait.
Just wait. You're just so close. I understand.
Give us a couple minutes more.
Chill out for like another 30 seconds and you're good.
How about that?
Your wanker.
My wanker this week. I'm giving it to the WWE.
Sorry, what?
The WWE.
Oh, no, I got that part.
Yeah, the Worldwide Wrestling Entourage. I don't know.
Entertainment,
yeah. Regardless, I'm giving it to them because they're dipping their toes into an area that, let's just be honest, they don't deserve to be in at all. They sent a special championship belt commemorating the Premier League title win to Manchester City this week. I don't know why this irks me so much. I know there are probably some people that are like, oh, that is awesome.
Well, I know like in America, like this has kind of become a thing for the WWE. Like they'll send it to like the Patriots or whoever.
Yeah.
Like, hey, like the Eagles probably got one for winning
the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The Super Bowl. Like I get that to a level.
I think this is why it really bothers me. The championship won by Manchester City is 100% real.
Right.
The WWE belt is awarded entirely on, like,
hey,
versus whatever criteria we deem.
It's real to me.
It's real for whoever hoists it up, I would presume. But I'm giving it to them because, look, could you imagine something that you could give to Pep Guardiola that he would give a shit about less than a WWE belt?
Plus, he's super skinny, so it's not going to fit him.
Yeah, just falls
down. He's
going to
slide straight down.
Get a hula hoop with that thing a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yaya Toure will have to wear it.
It's better than a birthday cake. He's leaving the club. Give him something to
look at. Yeah. We got you. A parting gift right here.
You know what? Yaya would love a championship belt. That said, that brings us to the end of this week's show. Of course, thanks to everyone who participated. If you want to get involved, you can.
Sure can.
Shoot us an email. Get a hold of us if you want to shoot us that.
Well,
email.
We need you to get. We need you to interact.
Yeah.
We do the end of the season wrap next week. which means we need your eulogies for your club season.
Yeah.
So just write up a little thing about, hey, how it went, how you feel as a fan. Are you optimistic? Are you just glad that it's over because it was such a crap season?
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for bigger and better?
Yeah.
Where's your team tracking?
No matter what it is. Let us know.
Yeah.
So we got to work it in next week's show.
So we whatever your club is, we want that.
Yeah, so email contact@wrongsideofthepond.com if you want to do it that way. You can also get at us on Twitter, at Jeremy Lance for Jeremy, at wrongsideofpond for me. They're your ways. Get us your answers.
Those are your options.
Yeah. And until then, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. First of all, Air Bud probably should have saw yellow on that play he made there.
Yeah, absolutely.